Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Malaysia kini today paid the ₱500,000 fine for contempt of court that was imposed by the federal court last Friday over five readers' comments on its website. The news portal launched its fundraiser immediately after the sentence was handed down and managed to raise the ₱500,000 in less than 5 hours. But what implications will this verdict have on not just Malaysia kini, but the wider media landscape? Malaysia kini CEO Premish Chandran joins us on the line now. Prem, the final tally of the Malaysia kini defence fund has amounted to just under ₱750,000. This from 6,527 donors. Now that averages out to be about ₱115 per donor. How have you and your team at kini read this outpouring of support from the public?
Yeah, hi, Melissa. I think that, you know, we're really amazed about the support and how fast people rallied to Malaysia kini that Friday afternoon. It was a very tough morning to kind of hear the verdict and especially the fine of ₱500,000. The prosecution only asked for 200,000. So we presume that it was between, what our lawyers asked for and what the prosecution asked for. So hearing a figure of 500,000 really hit us hard. But, you know, the way the people came out, the number of messages, you know, and how fast people donated was really, you know, really amazing. Such generosity, especially at, you know, during these pandemic times where I understand a lot of people are under financial stress and difficulties.
Prem, do you think that, that since the almost positive note that this ended on, right, the outpouring of support, that the decision by the police to investigate both Stephen and the MP for Klang, Charles Santiago, for sedition with regard to comments made about the verdict, does that put a damp on things? I mean, are you now very concerned about what's going to happen next?
Well, you know, looking at what has happened with the judiciary and then now, we think that, you know, we're entering election season. There are issues. It's always a time where the government of the day wants a more docile media. So these are all issues playing into the picture. We're not so surprised that there is this round two to this affair that Stephen is being investigated for sedition. But let's make it clear, we're not against the judiciary. We never were. We have full respect for the judiciary. We, you know, obviously we don't agree with the decision. There was also a minority dissenting decision, in this case 6-1. And we certainly don't agree with the quantum of the fine. And I think that was what Stephen was voicing out.
On that note about the quantum of the fine, one of the first things that Stephen said, despite him being exonerated of a personal charge of contempt of court, one of the things that he said was, this is an attempt not just to punish us, but to shut us down. And I'm wondering, is that how Malaysia kini is reading it? That this was could have been a body blow to kini's operations?
Well, it's really hard to understand how the judges concluded that a $500,000 fine was justifiable. So I think you can see from our perspective, you know, we really cooperated with the judiciary on this issue. We apologized unreservedly. You know, we did all we can, and from our perspective, we were following the law laid out in terms of the Communication and Multimedia Act content code. The remarks were not our own. We took down the remarks as soon as we were notified. So we're really doing our best to, you know, work this out. So given the context, we all feel that perhaps the fine was excessive. The judiciary could have taken a more constructive approach to say, look, Malaysia kini, tell us how you would do better. You know, what would you change going forward? So even if we were wrong, I think there was a better way to approach the issue, specifically because this matter has never been tried in Malaysia. And in many parts of the world, it's a very new thing in terms of media and readers' comments in media.
Right. Perhaps you could help us understand some of the complexities of this, because I believe that The comments also came in a rather innocuous news report, as in fact comments can be, you know, put against articles that are a year old or 2 years old. And the expectation that editors and owners of media must be vigilant in all these areas clearly was something that you felt was unreasonable. But how would you help the public understand the complexities of the of operations of media, especially ones that are online?
Well, for the comment section, you know, we have a filter that can detect words, particular words that are not should not be uttered, you know, of vulgarities, things like that are easily to be taken out. But it's really impossible to have a, you know, an artificial intelligence to tell us whether a statement is defamatory or contempt. That has to be done by a human eye. And we do browse through the comments and see what is not appropriate. But we really rely on other readers flagging comments to say, look, this is not appropriate. This should be taken out. And when someone flags it, then it's easier for us to detect and we can straight act on them. But in this case, the story that we ran was not a major story. It was actually a story by Bernama about the Chief Justice talking about opening up the courts after COVID. You know, it was not a big story. It's nothing that we really paid much attention to. And there were a few comments on that story, which nobody flagged the comments. So we didn't really look at them in detail. You know, we get thousands of comments on our website. If you look at our Facebook pages, even more comments on our Facebook pages. And we're not alone. I mean, if you look at any politician's pages or even the Facebook page of the chief of police or anybody of authority, you see a lot of comments on those pages. So, you know, we've kind of taken it as such that, look, you know, there is comments that, you know, we do our best to moderate it and we understand the consequences of it. But it's not something that we can do all the time perfectly in some magical way. And right. That's what the Communication and Multimedia Act has its flag and take down policy, which we adhere to.
Okay. Prem, when you started Malaysia Kini with Stephen, I mean, there were clear laws governing print media, but not so. I mean, there was what not such clear distinctions made when for new media like news online portals. Now, when the amendment was made to Section 114A of the Evidence Act, I believe in 2012, that faced a lot of backlash. And I understand that you too, you know, were part of that reaction. And was there a sense that that could someday, that this amendment could someday come back and haunt websites like Malaysia Kini?
Exactly. You know, if you remember back to 2012, there was a huge outpouring among the internet. You know, many websites went black. There was an internet blackout day, which Malaysia Kini and many other media and other civil society organizations took part, where we all said that, you know, having this amendment to the Act really opens the door to, you know, people who are innocent or publishers who are trying to do their best to be, you know, found guilty under these situations. So it was not new. I mean, we actually, you know, we really campaigned hard for those amendments to be withdrawn. And they were never actually used until, you know, in an active way until today, some 9 years later. So I think that, you know, this is what something that we have already alerted the government about, and something should have been done about these amendments much earlier.
All right, Prem, thank you so much for speaking with us on the show. We're going to be speaking and looking at the legal side of the case and the verdict after this, but thank you for sharing your insights with us. We appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned.